Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Allahu salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We are coming to you tonight with a very special program that we're going to be doing throughout the last 10 nights. In, you know, mashallah, it is the Sadaqa Jariya of Ustad Abdul Rahman with us here, mashallah. He had this beautiful thought that the last 10 nights are a time, a powerful time of dua. And it's the month of Ramadan, it's a month of the Quran. So why don't we look at how Allah teaches us to make dua within the Quran? So we put together this program, mashallah, Ustad very beautifully titled it as Seeking from Allah. And we're going to go through the du'as of the Quran, inshallah, every night for just a little bit here, you know, at midnight central time. Y'all can figure out what your time zone is. And we're just going to have a little discussion about how to supplicate to Allah, how to make du'a to Allah, and how Allah teaches us to do it from the Quran. And the goal and the objective is going to be to inspire us, to inspire y'all. And then as soon as, you know, we get done with this program, inshallah, take a few moments and make dua, inshallah. I'll let Ustad take it away and, you know, inshallah, enlighten us. Please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just like Sheikh Ibn Nasr mentioned, we thought to have a nightly session, nothing too long, because we know that everybody still has, you know, whether it's their own personal worship schedules or just, you know, you have things that you're taking care of with work or home. But we thought that we would try to really, for ourselves, honestly, for ourselves, you know, find inspiration in how to make the most out of these last 10 nights. Sheikh Ibn Nasr and I, you know, locally in Dallas, we go around the last 10 nights in the DFW area, and we normally do
the Qiyam Marathon.
Yeah, exactly. We normally do different Qiyams and stuff together. And so it literally, you know, the thought came to me last night, you know, Sheikh, we don't have a schedule this year because normally it's prepared for us by all these other masajid they invite and then we go. And so I thought to myself, you know, Sheikh, I really benefit from those gatherings and I wanted to see how we could keep that benefit alive this year, given all the circumstances that everybody is going through. And one of the things that has always been so amazing to me whenever I read the Quran is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us different templates for du'as, especially in the context of different situations of the person making the du'a. And so Sheikh Ibn Nasr and I last night, we looked through different du'as in the Quran, and we decided to talk about different du'as in the Quran, and we kind of categorized like what those du'as would be. From like an emotional or, you know, a contextual standpoint, whether those were du'as of regret or du'as of desperation or du'as of, you know, hope. There's so many different things that fuel a person's du'a, that everybody who's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something different that they are hoping motivates them to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we thought that we would take these last 10 nights, and go through some of these different motivations that we find in the Quran. The first that I wanted to go over, and it's going to be a little bit heavy. You know, these aren't, I know normally when Sheikh Ibn Nasr and I get on together, it's like what you guys saw trying to get the audio set up. it's a little bit, you know, lighthearted. It's just the nature of our relationship and the team at Qadam. We're all very, you know, we're good friends. So we have a lighthearted nature to each other. But, you know, conversations and times like these, even though it's not necessarily the worst thing to be lighthearted, there are some times that require a little bit more reflection and a little bit more introspection. And so we thought that we would take an opportunity, and the way that it'll go is that each night, inshallah, one of us will kind of tell the story and tell the context and kind of give some thought. And then I'll ask Sheikh Al-Banasr to share his thoughts. You know, he won't be telling the story tonight, but he'll share some of the thoughts that maybe he has on this story as he's hearing it or he's had before. And then we'll close with a dua, inshallah. And then tomorrow night we'll flip. So Sheikh Al-Banasr will tell the story, give the context, lay the land for us. And then I might jump in and give one or two things that he probably had already said. but inshallah, you know, we hope to go back and forth. That way you can kind of get different perspectives on this as well. So tonight's, and we hope that it'll last.
Before you get started, the mic, I think, is kind of like dangling and it's kind of rattling against your beard or whatnot. It's on the other side.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, there. All right.
There we go. Okay. So tonight's story or tonight's dua is the dua of Adam alayhi salam. And this is the dua that many of us, you come across it actually in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, a very summarized version of the whole narrative. And then as you go further in the Quran to Surah Al-A'raf, which is the seventh chapter, in the beginning of that chapter towards, you know, as you move through the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an expanded version and explanation of that same story. And so tonight we'll be referencing both of those passages to put together what exactly it was that motivated this famous dua that Adam alayhi salam gives in Surah Al-Baqarah and how that happened and what kind of lessons that we can take from that. So we have, subhanAllah, here, if you look at Surah Al-A'raf, chapter number 7, verse number 10. So I'm not going to pull it up on the screen because I want us to kind of just be able to talk. But if you have your Mus'haf or your Quran with you, you can do that. Quran.com/7/10. You see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the passage by talking about how humankind, men and women, are so blessed when he says that he gave us this land, this earth, to live in, to stay in, and to thrive in. And he gave us so many resources here. He gave us our livelihood and our resources. And then he finishes the ayah by saying, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, that despite the reality that Allah Ta'ala has given us, and I say this literally, this is not an exaggeration, Allah Ta'ala has given us more than we could ever ask for, more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever use. Despite that, Allah Ta'ala mentions, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, that little will we still be people who are grateful, that we're not going to have as much gratitude as we should. Now, we'll never be able to thank Allah for everything, because as I said, Allah gives us more than we can even imagine. But there still are moments where we're not even at our capacity for gratitude. We're not even at our capacity and our length of gratitude. It's an interesting description, because later in the story, in his conversation with Iblis, with Shaytan highlights something that is going to be his main mechanism by which he hopes to take everyone down with him. And interestingly enough, it's the same thing. We'll talk about it when we get there, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala says that he created us, he fashioned us, and then he told the angels, this is the famous story, the origin story, that he told the angels that they should prostrate towards Adam, our father, our original father, alayhi salam. And everybody prostrated, he says, فَسَجُدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, that Iblis was the only one out of all of that gathering, that congregation, who didn't prostrate, who didn't bow. And Iblis, though, was not an angel. So there's kind of an interesting discussion here about, well, if Allah Ta'ala says, you know, وَقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, you know, we told the angels to bow, فَسَجَدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. So it's almost like, well, if we're going to be really particular and really mathematical about it, then Iblis wasn't an angel. So does he have, you know, obviously the answer we know is no, of course not. But how do we make this connection? How do we make this jump? The example that I like to give is if a person were observing a classroom, if the principal were sitting in a classroom and a teacher was teaching the class and there was an emergency in the school, a fire broke out. I mean, I love protect all schools. There was a fire that broke out. And one of the administrators runs in and says, level five, grade six, right? Grade eight, whatever grade it was. There's a fire. I need everyone to get out immediately. But the principal's still in that room. Now, the principal is not part of grade five or six or eight or whatever. But the principal is there as a guest for whatever reason, observation, right? Maybe there's an audit that's happening. Who knows? Maybe there's a new student, right? There could be many different reasons why the principal's there. Does this mean that this announcement is excluding the principal, thus the principal should stay in the room and suffer the consequences? Of course not. No logical person would argue that. So we have here, similar to that scenario, we have here an example where Iblis, because of what? Because he was so high quality in his worship, because he was somebody that was so devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when Allah ta'ala, through his devotion, he elevated his own status and ranking to be amongst the angels, to be with the angels, even though he was not from amongst them, but he was able to be with them because he was somebody who showed a lot of promise in his worship and in his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah ta'ala commands the angels to bow and to prostrate, and Iblis doesn't bow, this doesn't mean that Iblis was an angel, but it actually shows you the difference between Iblis and the angels. And it actually is a beautiful, it's like the wisdom of Allah is unfolding before our eyes, that why wasn't Iblis from the angels to begin with, if he was going to be with the angels because of his devotion? Well, because the angels, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, they all bowed except for Iblis. لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, that he was not one who made sajda. So then Allah Ta'ala asks him, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ, what prevented you, what stopped you, right? From what? From making your prostration like I commanded you to do. What happened? What was it that stopped you, right? Why? Because Iblis obviously was a devoted servant of Allah up until that point, right? And, you know, he had this devotion. He had this record of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah knows the answer, but Allah is asking because everybody has a chance to state their piece, even though Allah ta'ala is the most knowledgeable. And so Iblis says an answer that is like profoundly illogical, like completely and totally just has no bearing, makes no sense. So, he says, "Ana khayrun min," I'm better than him. "Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tin," you made me from fire, right? And you made him from clay, from dirt. It's interesting because that has nothing to do with why somebody can or cannot listen to their command. It has no bearing. You know, Iblis may have even been able to make the argument that I'm not an angel, or, you know, who knows, right? Allah knows best, you know, the reality of that situation. We'll be able to witness it live and in 4K in Jannah, inshallah, when we watch the replay. But it's such an interesting argument because it's completely nonsensical. And you know what's amazing about this? One of my teachers earlier on, when he was telling us this, so we're doing the tafsir, Sheikh Ihab, he mentioned something. He said, arrogance makes you crazy.
Makes you stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Arrogance just makes you stupid. Like, shaitan was so arrogant. Allah Ta'ala said, kana istakbara, like he was arrogant, right? He tried to be prideful in front of Allah. He sought pride in front of Allah Ta'ala. And as a result of that, he made no sense whatsoever. So then Allah Ta'ala, he says, you know, get down from here. You're not allowed to show pride in this gathering. This isn't about you. Right? This isn't about you, and you didn't even listen. So go, because you are now officially, you've been demoted. You're done. You've been reduced now. You're degraded. Shaitan interestingly does something. He says, قَالَ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمَ يُبَعَثُونَ. He's like in the middle, he's like so bisharam, like in the middle of being reprimanded, in the middle of being, you know, punished, he makes a request and he asks Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ, that you are from amongst those who you have it. You have what you asked for. You're going to have that. You're going to be there until the day of judgment, basically, right? You'll be present, right? SubhanAllah, it's interesting. Allah Ta'ala's mercy that he grants the request of the one who just disobeyed. Like, just disobeyed. And he still grants his request. I remember, you know, Sheikh Abdul Nasser has mentioned this before, and you read it, like, when we disobey Allah, we feel bad. Shaitan doesn't even feel bad. And he had the frame of mind to ask Allah, and Allah granted it to him. So if you and I feel remorseful, regretful, don't we have a one-up on Shaitan already? Doesn't it make sense Allah would answer our du'as too? Right? Sometimes we get in our own head and we say, I'm so sinful, I'm so far from Allah, there's no way. You know, if I ask Allah for something, he's just going to point to the long list of disobedience that I've committed. But Shaitan literally here is in the middle of getting yelled at. I just imagine like getting yelled at by my parents and like in the middle of it, I'm like, can I go sleep over?
Yeah, excuse me. I'd like a sandwich.
Could you imagine? SubhanAllah, man. Could you imagine? So he says that. And then, dude, this is even worse. Even worse, right? Arrogance makes you crazy. What? He says what? Qala. He says that now that you have sent me astray, now that you have been the one, he's blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that you have done this to me, he says what? That I am going to sit. I am going to sit and wait on the straight path for who? For your servants. Because of what you've done to me, even though Allah Ta'ala didn't do anything.
So no responsibility.
Yeah, zero ownership, right? Nothing. I'm going to sit and wait on the straight path, right? For them on the straight path. And then he says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. SubhanAllah, it comes back. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said just a few verses earlier? قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. I've given you everything. I've given you more than you can even realize. Every day you wake up and you discover something new that I've given you. You discover a new benefit or a new place or a new food or a new friend or a new... You discover something that I've given you. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Shaitan knows this about us. And he knows that our Achilles heel, our biggest weakness, is our ability to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he says, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِدِينَ. He says, I'm going to be waiting for them. And when I see them, I'm going to surround them. I'm going to ambush them from all sides, right? مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَاءِ. Literally, in front of them, behind them, on the right and on the left, I'm going to surround them. And you're going to see, he's pledging this out of arrogance to Allah. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِدِينَ. You're going to see that a lot of them are not going to be grateful to you, right? So then Allah Ta'ala commands and says to him, go, you've been banished, right? This is the end of this conversation. We're done here, right? And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala shifts the scene, and he's speaking to Adam alayhi salam. And he says to Adam, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, that you and your spouse, Hawa, you and your wife, go ahead and live in the garden, in paradise, okay? فَكُولَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Go ahead and eat whatever you like. Go ahead and enjoy whatever you like. But one thing that I'm going to request, that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to set the limit, the boundary, one thing, that وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not go near to this tree. Don't go near to this tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Because if you do, then as a result of your disobedience, of this rule that I'm making, you're going to be from amongst those who are the wrongdoers. Now, what's so special about this tree? Right? What's so special about it? Like, what's the limitation? What's the, you know... We oftentimes talk about why Allah forbids things in Islam, and because pork is, you know, disease carrying, and alcohol intoxicates you, and interest, it hurts the economy, and, you know, zina, it destroys family fabric and society, and lying and bad. There's a lot of wisdoms as to why we don't do what Allah Ta'ala tells us not to do. But in reality, the lack of an apparent wisdom to us does not change the status of something that Allah tells us to do. Right? The lack of that wisdom doesn't change that thing. Like if Allah Ta'ala tells us, you know, you can't eat something, a certain thing, right? Like, for example, like why does an animal have to be slaughtered a certain way? Why can't we just go and find any roadkill and make sure that it's clean and eat it, right? Pasteurize it, whatever. You know, we have science, right? Because it's not about whether or not we can understand necessarily the apparent wisdoms, right? It's about us and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this tree there's no clear understanding as to why. There's no direct and clear understanding. There are some benefits that Shaitan later, you know, alludes to. Maybe not true, right? But there's no clear understanding. All we know is that it's a command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave.
Yeah, and just real quickly, like the scholars of Tafsir discuss it, because this is the story of Genesis, the story of Adam. So it's literally been discussed in all the previous scriptures, and you know, Jews and Christians, and everyone's talked about it. Mm-hmm. And the scholars of Islam, of the Quran, basically said that all that conversation aside, ultimately it just boils down to Allah said, just don't go over there.
Just don't go there. And mm-hmm. and the interesting thing too is that if you look in the context of the whole conversation, Allah Ta'ala is telling them that you can essentially do whatever you like. Mm-hmm. Right? You have this garden, this paradise, you can eat from whatever you like from it. Just don't go near that tree. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I'm gonna ask of you. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ. Shaitan then comes to them and he whispers to them. And his goal in his whispering to them, again, he's now acting out the pledge that he made. So he's trying to divert and distract and take away. And he goes to Adam and Hawa and he tells them something very interesting. He said, your Lord, he forbade you from this tree. نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. That you've been forbid. Your Lord, right? He stopped you from coming to this tree. Why? Just so that you cannot become like an angel, or maybe, right, become somebody who is going to be immortal, live forever. Mm. Interesting. Again,
interesting.
It's interesting because the nature of Adam's situation is that obviously this is not, you know, nothing was unfolding before Allah that he didn't know. But these are things that in Jannah we understand to be the case. That a person is going to have life. That a person doesn't have to worry about death in paradise. Did Allah Ta'ala mention anything to him about death at this point? Do we know anything about his life being threatened? The angels actually bowed to him. Mm-hmm. So is there any reason why he should have any sort of envy towards angels at this point? Like from what we know, there's really the argument that Shaitan is placing before Adam and his wife, Hawa, is, again, it's nonsensical, right? And ultimately, the reason why I keep stopping at each point that Shaitan shows up is because I want us to realize how nonsensical our desires are sometimes. Yeah. I want us to realize how, if we just took a moment, you know, Imam Ghazali talks about this in his book where he says, you have to become a master of hesitation. He says, you have to master the hesitation, right? Not in the crossover, mm-hmm. but when you're about to do a deed, you have to pause. Mm-hmm. And he says, you have to give yourself just a second, like just give yourself 1 second just to think, what am I doing? And if you think to yourself, what am I doing? You might actually be able to talk yourself out of that.
Yeah.
Right. And so Shaitan here is doing this. And then he swears to them and he says that, I swear to you, I'm just trying to give you some good advice. I'm just trying to advise.
It also is kind of a look in, it's like studying game film, right? We're getting to look at Shaitan's playbook. These are the same kind of things that he's going to use for us as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like he already told Allah that this is what he's going to do. Now he's unfolding his plan and we're seeing it right here. Right. And then the Quran continues and says, and Shaitan did lead them with his deception. And when they went to the tree and they tasted from it, that the consequences of their deed had become manifest. And those consequences were that they became apparent, fully apparent, with no shame or no clothing. And as a result, they realized this and they had to gather some things from the garden to cover themselves. They basically had become exposed. And Allah Ta'ala then calls out to them and says, didn't I tell you not to go near that tree? And also, didn't I tell you that Shaitan is your clear and manifest enemy? That he's somebody that is going to try to take you down? That you should never, ever assume him to be on your side? Mm-hmm. And then, now we're going to switch to Surah Al-Baqarah. Because this is where we find where the dua, or even something more just incredible that I love, that subhanAllah shows you so much about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 30, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So now we're having like a different view of the story where Allah Ta'ala is telling the angels that I've created this creation to be the successor on earth. And then the angels question and say, you know, why is that the case? You know, they're going to cause problems. Why would this happen? And Allah Ta'ala tells them what? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you don't know. There's something really special about these people. Even he doesn't say that we're not going to cause problems, by the way. Allah doesn't deny them. He says, I know that which you don't know, which means what? Human beings will cause issues, but our propensity and our capacity for greatness will always outweigh our capacity for evil. Always.
Absolutely.
And subhanAllah, later in the chapter, he says, ayah number 33, Another retelling of the same story. He says number 35, where he says, oh Adam, you and your wife, go ahead and be in the garden, eat whatever you like, but don't come near this tree, because you might be from amongst the wrongdoers. Shaitan caused them to slip and remove them from whatever condition that they were in. And then Allah Ta'ala told everybody, go down, all of you, you are clear enemies now from each other, and you're going to be on this earth until a set time. Then now we have the verse. What is this verse? And this is going to conclude with this dua now for us, inshallah. And then I'll have Sheikh. I want to, Sheikh to share some words for us. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, thanks, Sheikh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. That Allah ta'ala gave Adam some words. كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. And as a result of this gift, now that Allah has given Adam, he actually had the ability to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the interesting thing is Adam hadn't needed to know how to repent until this point. This is now like a new thing he's experiencing. It's a new feeling he's experiencing, the feeling of regret, the feeling of remorse, the feeling of, oh, I did something that I was told not to do. Mm-hmm. And how often do we feel that? Like, so isn't that the story of humanity? Hmm. The feeling of, I did something that I was told not to do. Ajit. And subhanAllah, you know, the idea of regret is so important. Hmm. Regret is such an important emotion. Hmm. Having that nadama, having that remorse is such an important fuel for dua. It's so important. If a person doesn't have regret, then you don't see any reason to come to Allah. Look at Shaitan. You see, it's interesting. Shaitan and Adam, they both had a slip up, right? Shaitan's obviously was a little bit more direct and a little bit more intentional, but it just became worse because he didn't have any regret. Adam, alayhi salam, also had a slip up, right? Also had a moment where he, you know, didn't obey Allah Ta'ala's clear command. But what was his response? His response was not to make excuses. His response was not to try to deflect or, you know, shed the guilt. He owned it. And even though human beings don't want to feel guilty, the moment he owned it, what did Allah give him? Allah gave him the process for how to get rid of that guilt. The moment he owned that regret, Allah Ta'ala, فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now we go back to Surah Al-A'raf. What is the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Adam alayhi salam? We have it here on the screen for those who are watching on Facebook. Ayah number 23, Surah Al-A'raf 7:23. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. So now we have the template. Okay, pause. If you are feeling regretful for something you've done, tonight is your night where you're going to learn. Tonight's the night where we're going to learn. If we regret something, Sheikh, do you have any regrets?
A lot.
A lot of regrets. And this is just us being honest, guys. Like, we're not, there's no, you guys can see my back door right here. Like, you know, there's no, we're not on stage. There's no, this is us just being honest. I have a lot of regrets. Everyone should have a lot of regrets. But we should never let those regrets weigh us down to the point where we lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi. That he says that my mercy, it overtakes my wrath. That my wrath is nothing compared to my mercy. Qala rabbana zalamna anfusana. That the first thing you have to do if you feel regretful is you have to own it. You have to just say it. You have to talk to Allah and you have to say, oh Allah, I made a mistake.
I messed up.
Go to any counselor, talk to any therapist and ask them about how to restore a relationship, whether it's with parents or friends or you know, coworkers or a spouse or kids. Ask them, how do I restore a relationship where I made a huge mistake? And they will tell you right away the first things you have to apologize. And in your apology, you have to own it. You have to own it. You can't try to skirt that, right? And if you ignore it, if you just say, oh, Allah, please forgive me for, you know, some of those things. Like, no, you have to go in. And subhanAllah, I've found personally that the more that I elaborate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what I've done, the more it kind of chips away at the heart and kind of opens up so that I can be honest with Allah. Now we know that He knows, but there's something to be said about saying it. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. So that's number one. Number two, وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. What are you asking for now? What are you asking for? Oh Allah, we need two things. Number one, Allah, we need you to forgive me. I need you to forgive me. If I don't have your forgiveness, Ya Allah, I'm done. What do I even wake up for? If there's no chance that I can wake up knowing that you will forgive me, how do I even go? How do I move on from this moment? You know, it's like a person begging for forgiveness from their friend or their family. And if there's no chance to be forgiven, can you imagine the weight in their heart that they would carry? And this is why it's so powerful that Allah Ta'ala gave Adam these words, because Allah is designing this dua for us. He's giving us the template. What do you need? وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. What's the difference between forgiveness and mercy here? Forgiveness, you're asking for a specific, a specific violation or a specific thing. I need your forgiveness for that mistake. Mercy is, oh Allah, I need you to be merciful to me all the time. Because mercy is how you are treated with goodness when you don't deserve it. Mercy means I'm going to treat you well, even though you don't deserve it. So this is why Adam is asking for this. Adam and his wife, Hawa, they're asking, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, we made a huge mistake. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And if you don't forgive us for that mistake, وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And in general, just have mercy upon us. And just pardon us and just have mercy upon us. Like, let us live in the oxygen of your mercy, in the atmosphere of your mercy. Because, oh Allah, we know we're going to make mistakes over and over again. And if you don't have mercy upon us, my mother used to tell me, man, she used to say, subhanAllah, if you miss Fajr and you wake up with your eyesight, thank Allah. If you miss Fajr and you wake up with your job, thank Allah. You wake up with your health, thank Allah. She goes, why? If that's one of your responsibilities, if you have a responsibility at work and you don't do it, and there's no excuse, don't they fire you? And she said, if you miss your responsibility with Allah, what contract do you have with Him where you tell Him, oh Allah, I can miss 10 fajrs and you still have to give me my eyesight or my health or my life or my family? So she would say, that's mercy. Mercy is that a person can utter with their lips that they don't believe in God and Allah will give them another breath. That's mercy. And if Allah can be merciful to people who don't believe in Him, then He can be merciful to us. Allah's mercy is greater than everything, as He tells us in the Quran. وَسِعَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It's wider than everything. You gather everything in existence, Allah Ta'ala's mercy can take care of it. And وَلَا أُبَالِي, He says, and I wouldn't mind. It's not going to bother Him at all. وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What's at stake? What's at stake? And I love this. I love this, Sheikh, and I'll finish here and I'll let you kind of give us some of your reflections. I know you got a lot, mashallah, but you know, the three parts of this dua are so powerful. Owning your mistake, what do you need? When you feel regret, what do you need? What's gonna make you feel better? what's going to make you feel whole again is if you know that Allah has forgiven you, and if you know that His mercy is there waiting for you. And then you have to, this part's scary, everybody. You have to kind of take a walk down the road of what happens if He doesn't. Mm. You don't have to live there. You don't have to move in. Because moving in actually is limiting Allah's mercy. We don't do that either, right? Mm. And Allah tells us, "Ya ibadil ladina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah." Never ever despair in the mercy of Allah.
Subhanallah.
But you have to walk, you have to walk down the road and look. You just have to see, what's it like? Mm. What would happen, oh Allah, if you didn't give me your mercy? What would happen to me? And the answer is literally in this one word, khasirin, khusran. This complete and total perpetual loss.
Ruin.
Complete ruin. You know what it feels like? Every day, no matter what happens, you end up negative. Mm. Every day, no matter what you try, you end up negative. This is Allah Ta'ala saying that for a person that doesn't have His forgiveness and His mercy, it doesn't matter what they do. They're going to constantly be spinning their wheels in mud. Mm. They're not going to make any progress. Without Allah's mercy and without His forgiveness for our mistakes, we're stuck. Mm. And we're moving backwards. The rest of the world is moving on without us. We can't risk that. We can't risk that. Imagine on the Day of Judgment, seeing your family and your friends just walk by you on the Sirat. Mm. Imagine watching people that you judged for sinning just fly by you on their way to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to drink from his hands. And imagine trying to walk and not getting anywhere. And you wonder, what is this? What's happening? Maybe this is because I didn't take time out to own up to what I did. So this dua, everybody, I want you guys to mark this down. The dua of when you're feeling regretful. Go back to the story. Go through the story. And realize, Surah Al-A'raf 723. And realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this story for a reason. Everything in the Quran has a reason. The reason for the story, or one of the reasons for the story, is to give us hope. In that moment of regret, this story is going to restore hope. Why? Because even though we know that the rest of the story plays out and Adam and his wife come down to earth, but we know that Allah Ta'ala forgave them.
Yes.
We know that they were given forgiveness by simply just asking. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us the ability to not turn on ourselves when we have a mistake, but to turn towards Allah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the ability to repent, and that our regret fuels our dua. Sheikh, can you give us some insight from this story and from these lessons?
Just very, very quickly. And I wanted to also just kind of share with everyone that, during these moments, of course, watching and listening attentively and really focusing on what's being said. But, during these moments and during these nights, let's try to grow a little bit. I literally was sitting here listening, taking notes. Let's try to learn. Let's try to go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just a couple of quick thoughts. Ustad presented it so beautifully where he talked about regret. And the scholars would say that having a moment of regret in this world will save you from an eternity of misery.
Subhanallah.
The Quran uses two different words for regret, like we talked about here. It's nadama. But what you will feel in the afterlife, what Ustad was talking about, when you didn't regret, that feeling you'll get in the afterlife, is not called nadama. It's called hasra.
Allah.
Misery. So a moment of regret can save you an eternity of misery. And then the dua is so beautiful, right? Where it said, وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. God, if you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, then we're ruined. And that's the idea of the fact, like the Quran says, لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. There is no rescue or refuge from the wrath of Allah except by going to Allah. And, Ustad talked about the transition from forgiveness to mercy. That, okay, we got forgiveness, but then Allah specifically mentions mercy. Because he was saying, like, mercy is just, you're always good to me. It's like entering back into God's good graces.
Mm.
I messed up, so don't hold me accountable for my mistake. But can we go back to being friends? Can we go back? Human beings can't do that for you. Human beings can't do that for you.
It takes too much time.
Oh my gosh, it's too difficult. We're not capable of it. That's why we're humans. Mm-hmm. Someone does something terribly wrong to me. Okay, I forgive them. But you know what, though? We're not, you know, really close friends anymore. And rahmah is about entering back into the good graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, when it said, لَنَكُنَّنَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, otherwise we're going to be ruined. We just read in the 22nd juz tonight, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفَقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are begging in front of God. We need Allah. And without Allah, there's no hope for us. We're done. We're dead. We're ruined. So we need Allah. And we got this. These are the nights to recognize, to realize, to verbalize, to actualize our desperation and need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to put my hands out like I'm a beggar. And I'm going to one by one count the things I need. And I'm going to cry if I have to. I'm going to beg and plead if I need to. I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm really just going to recognize and realize my need of Allah during this particular night.
And that's what, you know, Ibn Athaillah actually posted this last night because I was thinking about this. He said something really beautiful. He said, nothing will expedite your request. When you make dua, then expressing your need. Mm. And think about it. It's how human beings are too, right? Like if somebody asks us for something, we might say yes, we might say no. But the more that they talk about how desperate they are, the more we as humans, right, who have hard hearts, the hearts kind of soften and the hearts kind of feel, okay, you know what? I wasn't necessarily really considering it, but now I'm considering it. And then you get to a certain point when a person is just begging, you know, and they're just on the ground crying and their head is in their hands. You're ashamed to turn away. And this is what the hadith tells us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala, again, we don't use the same adjectives like one for one, right? Because Allah is God, but Allah Ta'ala says that he is shy or, you know, even hesitant or embarrassed to turn away from the servant that begs him. And Allah uses this language because we can't understand any other way, right? But for us to imagine that when we're sitting in our homes in the middle of the night, you know, and someone was telling me yesterday how much maybe easier it might be to sit and have, you know, somebody make dua at the masjid during Qiyam and you just say Ameen. But think about what a position you're in right now. Mm. You're in a position right now to be alone with Allah. And even if tears don't flow, and even if you're not necessarily hyper, you know, emotional, but if your heart is feeling something and you just tell Allah, Allah, I'm so in need, the whole world is in need right now. So, we don't have answers. We don't have answers. Everything that we think is an answer is not an answer right now. The whole world is in need right now. And that is just a microcosm of us. That we are just in need of Allah. We are so in need. If you just tell Allah how in need you are of Him and His forgiveness, then subhanAllah, that is, Ibn Athaillah says, that's like the opening of the dua. He says, if a person can't do that, their dua just stays right in their hands. Doesn't go anywhere. Right? Because they just can't. And you see this with shaitan. You see in the Quran over and over and over again an individual's inability to open up is what stops them from Allah. It's not Allah. It's their own inability. Their inability to be humble. Their inability to not be arrogant. Their inability to just tell Allah what's going on. And so we wanted to start tonight with this session because I think that no one is free from regrets. No one is free from mistakes. And you know what? The regrets you have, they might be fresh or they might be longstanding. And there might be some even that are going to come soon, right? This is a universally applicable dua and moment. You can't run this out. It doesn't expire. This is something that keeps going. As long as you sincerely feel something, as long as you feel, oh Allah, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And even if you know, even if in the back of your head you say, you know what, I know I'm so weak. I can't start praying right now. It's just not, I'm trying, but I'm slipping, or I can't put the hijab on, or I can't stop doing this sin or drinking or going with these people, or I'm just struggling with it. Never stop saying sorry. Never stop telling Allah that you're sorry for every time that you do something that you know Allah Ta'ala doesn't love. Just don't stop saying sorry. Because the minute you stop saying sorry and that ratio starts to climb, that I have all these instances of moments that I did things that Allah doesn't love, and I never even stopped once to say, you know, Allah, I'm so weak, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Then that's what leads to what we call the death of the heart. So just being able to every night, just open your hands to Allah 4 or 5 minutes. Go through your day and say, oh Allah, I'm really sorry. Today I said this, today I did that, today I did this. I'm really sorry, Allah, give me strength. And you might be surprised.
The Prophet ﷺ said, I say sorry to Allah more than 100 times a day.
Yeah, exactly. And he's the Prophet. So we'll close, inshallah, now, because I don't want this to be like, you know, Sheikh and I can go on forever. It's our blessing and our curse, I guess, right? We just, my uncle used to say growing up that I talk more than any four people he's ever met in his life. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless everybody. We ask you, O Allah, to forgive us. Ask you, O Allah, to not make our hearts dead, that we can feel. O Allah, give us the ability to feel regret, remorse. And don't let us be people who are deaf, dumb, and blind to our mistakes. Allah, please just forgive us. We there's nothing else that we can say. Oh Allah, just forgive us. The list is too long. The moments are too many. We just need your forgiveness. Oh Allah, we need your mercy. And if you give that to us and you don't give anything else to us, then we've won. But oh Allah, if you give everything that we ask for in this life, but you don't give us your mercy, oh Allah, then what is it? What is it? We'll be standing there on the day of judgment asking for another chance. So Allah, just please give us your mercy and give us your rahmah and your forgiveness, and our families and our friends and our loved ones and our teachers and the whole ummah, ya Allah, just forgive us. We're trying so hard and we fall. Ya Allah, just please forgive us. We just want to be close to your messenger, alayhi salam. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Shaykhna, I appreciate it.
Barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much. That was a beautiful session. Thank you, everyone, for spending a few moments with us. Please, inshallah, go and make your own little dua before calling it a night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, inshallah.
Tomorrow, just to give everyone, inshallah, a heads up on what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about how to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what you do. You know, so much of our anxieties in life with Allah is, am I good enough? Is what I did good enough for Allah? Will he ever accept it? And so Ibrahim alayhi salam has a beautiful story that Shaykh will be telling about acceptance. And so, like Shaykh just said, everybody, make sure that when you close the screen, turn off the phone, put the phone away for a second, and just sit with Allah for a few minutes before you go ahead and do whatever you're going to do for the rest of the night. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.